Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones. Thanks, Lori Beth, for joining this week again to talk about how we can have fun on this journey.
I really enjoyed this chapter, and turns out it's about working with you.
Yeah, I saw that. I noticed that after I posted it up there on the calendar. So, I mean, we could talk about lots of things about having fun. I think this this particular topic is maybe something that I just do not have enough of, so I keep coming back to it. I'm not sure. You always are full of joy and laughter, and you are one person that knows how to have fun. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, this is in, I believe, the productivity section, is it not, of Jesus Life Coach?
You know, I think it's still in the focus. We're still in the focus area.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, you know, one of the things that struck me about Jesus as you read through the stories, and certainly the biblical inferences and the scriptural, they picture him as very serious. And yet, if you look at his following and you look at some of the stories he shared and the fact that crowds gathered around him, I just think he had to be a lot of fun. And he was obviously very spontaneous. We know that
right.
About him by his ministry, you know, no 2 days were the same. But in the chapter, in this particular chapter, I talk about how I observed you in your speech pathology practice, you know, carrying in your computers, but equal to the tools, there were as many toys as there were, you know, lesson books and computers. And I was just amazed at watching you work with the kids to get them to learn how to speak correctly. And I tell the story of one of the kids. I had just walked into the room, and one of the little boys looked up at me, and he said, "Are you from Texas?" You know, with his little lips. And I said, "Yes, I am. How did you know?" And he just looked at me. He said, "I just guessed, you know." And the little girl who had drawn her two puppies, and you asked her what she was naming her drawing, and she says, "I call this one Lots of Lup." And just the joy in your working with them. I know that you were constantly giving praise and games, and you would observe them during the games and praise them when they did it right. And I remember sharing this with someone who told me that he wished that you had been his daughter's speech pathologist, because his daughter stuttered and her instructor was so stern and so harsh that she just dreaded going to class. And he said, my daughter stutters to this day. And it was so sad to hear that approach to a child, you know, who might have been able to be drawn out in fun and in games. And, you know, I think that the presence of God is seen as much, if not more, in play than anywhere else. You know, when you see animals at play, or you see kids playing, and just their innocence and their joy in existing. You know, I like that commercial on TV that's on right now about this young man who just graduated, and he's lamenting that his mother didn't get all of the graduation because she had a film of this little kitten that gets tickled and covers its eyes. And, you know, it's just so funny. You know, his graduation goes uncovered when everybody's looking at this little kitten picture. But it is in our nature to want to have fun and to laugh.
Yeah.
So how can we, as leaders and as coaches, encourage more laughter and not to take ourselves quite so seriously? I think this is what the essence of this chapter is about. And actually, I think it does belong in productivity and focus, because when things are fun, people want to do them more. And when they do them more in a focused way, they get better at it. So that's my premise, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, the workday for people, primarily, you know, 8 to 10 hours. Some people work more than that, but, you know, how much of our time is spent on tasks and getting things done and checking the productivity list and all that, and how fire Earth particularly are just not as spontaneous to think about fun. You know, how does a person like me say, okay, I'm going to plan fun, you know, into my day or into my week when there's so many things I need to accomplish, right?
Right. Well, I think if the water winds could convince you that having fun will help you get your results faster, then you might be more inclined to go with it, right?
I don't know. I'll have to ask my wind friends about that.
Right. Well, I'm thinking about hummingbirds and bees and how vital their work is in pollination. And yet they look like they're having fun. In fact, I say in one book or chapter, bees hum while they work. They don't whine.
Hmm.
You know, so... Wow. I don't know, just I'm thinking of animals. I'm thinking of my dog Roo on a walk, how he prances and he just looks at the world like, wow, isn't this great? And I'm thinking of the horses that I've had when they just prance. I could barely contain them on their quote-unquote exercise journeys, you know. So that imagery of prancing while we work, of being full of joy and light and laughter. You know, I just think about the laughter of God. That's, if we thought more about that, we wouldn't be so heavy in the world.
I've seen pictures, you know, there's different images of Christ, you know, based on our... based on others' artistic expression of what they think Christ looks like, or God looks like, or Jesus. And there's this one picture that shows Jesus just all out laughing. I mean, just like somebody tickled his funny bone, you know, and he
right.
just can't stop. Right. And, you know, I often, you know, gravitate to that image when you know, things are not, when I don't have enough levity, you know, when I'm not pressing against the water and wind side of me very much, sometimes that image of who, you know, how Christ just belly laughed just makes me laugh sometimes.
Right. And you use the word levity, and levity is the same as levitate, which means rise above.
Yeah.
And I know I've talked about this before, but they've done studies about what makes people innovative and how do geniuses come up with these really cool ideas. And they've studied them, and what they found that they have in common across all industries is a sense of humor. That they have an amazing ability to see the humor in situations, which is really bifocal thinking. You know, they see the situation as it is, and yet they also are able to really rise above it and kind of laugh at it. I'm thinking about the martyr who was being roasted on a spit and who looked at his people and he said, I think you can turn me over now. I'm not done on the other side. You know, that must have been so infuriating for them because they wanted him to suffer, by golly. They wanted to show their power over him. And that humor just meant, you have no power over me.
Yeah.
You know, in pure humor, there is no... no power that can overcome that.
Well, I think you're very good at different times. I've noticed how in your writing and also in your speaking and just in conversing with other people, how you always bring laughter, you know, into the room, into the space. Is that just natural in people? Do people have to nurture that? Do they have to really think about it? Do, you know, how does that
work
for you?
Well, it helps to hang around funny people, and you know how funny my sister is and how funny my mother was. And we grew up in a culture, if you will, that at the dinner table, my parents would ask us, children, what was the funniest thing that happened to you today?
Yeah.
And so we began to look for funny things, and we couldn't wait to tell them at the dinner table. And I know with the Kennedys, it was probably, what's the most political thought you've had today? Or, you know, with the Rockefellers, how can you make money today? Or, you know, the conversations that are nurtured in those environments really give rise to a way of looking at the world. So perhaps we were helped by being taught as children to look for something funny in every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly worked, that's for sure. Being around you is just like one barrel of laughs after another. You know, so writing this particular chapter about fun, you know, I think it's a good lesson for a coach, you know, to instruct us, you know, lighten up, Shelley. Learn how to lighten up. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard somebody say that to me, I would be a rich woman. It's like, okay, how do I lighten up? How do I lighten up?
Right.
You know?
Well, and I even think about Jesus telling the people, you know, tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll build it again. I mean, there was a little defiance in that, but there was also kind of humor in that. It's just like, you can't hurt me because I'm not of this world. And true humor is not of this world. It is. It means that there is something far beyond, far greater than anything we can, you know, attach to our mortal selves. I was reading the book In One Person by John Irving, who's a literary giant, and it's pretty deep, but there was a line he was quoting in there. Instead of, you know, C.S. Lewis said, you've never met a mere mortal. And I think that's true. But in this line, he was talking about people who get caught up in being mortally mere.
Well, let's let that soak in for a minute. Wow. So, to our listeners, Lori, how do we move past mortally mere?
I think just for a week, practice. What is the funniest thing that happened to you today or that you saw today? Begin to look for humor and you will find it. Begin to cultivate that in your day instead of what's the worst thing that happened, or you'll never believe what so-and-so did or said, or, you know, and the media certainly tends to capture things for us to complain or be upset about, because that's the media's job in many cases. So, but they see it as their job to stir up conflict. So what is the funniest thing that happened today? And if you can't find anything, make something funny. You know, put a bow on it. I remember one couples counselor that I knew said that sometimes when she has couples arguing, she makes one of them put on a red clown nose and the other one put on, you know, clown hair, and they have to talk to each other like that. And she said it just doesn't last long, you know, because you cannot take seriously someone who's talking with a big red clown nose to you.
Right. Well, appreciate this chapter and for pointing us back to this space of learning to have fun, making fun out of our work, and as a coach, you know, insisting that our clients and our teams are learning how to have fun. So thank you, Lori Beth, for authoring this and for sharing it today on this show. We appreciate that. And next week, I understand you're going to be traveling to Atlanta to a leadership conference, and so we will be parking the show next week, but we'll be back the following week after you return.
All right, Shelley, thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.